This recording is being made by Patricia Robinson, committee member of the Rowlands Castle Historical Society. The interviewee is Marge Harvey, a long-term resident or a lifelong resident of the village. The purpose of making this recording is for archiving the history of Rowlands Castle Village. The date of the recording is the 27th of July 2022. And the reference number is 22/5. Welcome, Marge.
Thank you, Patricia. That's really kind of you to invite me. As Patricia said, I was born in Rowlands Castle. I was born in Hollybank on Red Hill Road, and lived there with my family. I was the youngest of six children, but both sets of grandparents lived with us at Hollybank. And after, when I was four, my parents decided that they either had to buy the house, which they didn't know whether they could afford or not, or move, and they were offered one of the new houses in Uplands Road that had just been built. So we moved when I was 4 years old, and very, very happy. I'd lived there right up until we got married at number 52. And it really, really was a happy childhood for us, for all of my family and for myself. I really, really enjoyed living there. We used to go out and play on the green and play rounders and cricket and all sorts in the summer. And then in the winter, we would take our sledges and we would go up to Finchdean and sledge down the slopes in Finchdean. It was just amazing. Really, really had a happy childhood there. I'd lived there until I was 19, and I married my husband David when I was 19. He was 23. And we moved out of the village and bought a house in Fareham. But all of my family lived in Rowlands Castle. We were only in Fareham for a very short while and moved overseas with my husband's job. Came back to Rowlands Castle, bought a house in Rowlands Castle, and from then on we had always owned a house here in Rowlands Castle. We looked at lots of places, but we always came back to Rowlands Castle, as I think you'll find many people who now live in Rowlands Castle would be the same, because it is such a lovely village, it really is. But growing up, for me, we used to have the police house on the green, and my brothers and I used to go scrumping apples right near the railway station, and a policeman would arrive at the door and say, you know, it's private property. And we'd give him a bag of apples and he would take them home. But I think that was just a lovely way of growing up. It was people lived with each other and shared, which was lovely. As I say, it was knowing people in the village was the most important thing, because if there was something happening or if you were in trouble, you could speak to anybody and they would help. And I think that's changed quite a bit since I was growing up. I know once I got on the, I was on the train quite late, and my father always would come and pick me up at the railway station. I was coming from Portsmouth, and I got on the train and somebody walked up and down outside the carriage where I was sitting and came and sat in the carriage with me, and I just felt very uncomfortable. Anyway, at the next station, I got out and went into a compartment that didn't have any other places that anybody could walk up and down. And then when we got to Havant, this man came and got into the compartment that I was in. And when I got out at Rowlands Castle, he followed me. And I didn't worry too much because I knew my father would be there to pick me up. But unfortunately, he wasn't. And I ran down and he ran after me. I ran up the hill, and as I got to the top of the hill, my father came out, actually realising that he was late. And this man, as soon as he saw my father in the van, I got in the car, I got in and he ran off. So my father took me straight round to the village policeman, and they caught this man at Petersfield, and he was doing the same to somebody else on the train. So, scary part, something you never forget, actually. And when
How old
look,
would you be?
I was 17, so I wasn't young, but, you know, my father was always very, very conscious of the fact that it was very dark from the station to Uplands Road, and he didn't want me to come up there on my own, which was fortunate. Yeah, so there are a few things that happen in the village that you know about and you hear about, but nothing like it is today. It was a very, very close village, and of course very much smaller than it is at the moment, and that's why everybody knew everybody. And I used to go to the church on the green, to a chapel, and I was bridesmaids to one of the people that was quite prominent in the church on the green. Later in life, he moved to where my mother lived in Uplands Road. My mother was moved to a bungalow, which we bought eventually for her. And they lived behind her. So it was, you know, just memories just come back and hit you in the face. I think actually growing up, I was more interested in sport, horse riding. I used to do a lot of horse riding. And eventually, I helped out at the stables that used to be just off, it was a farm, just off of Footwoodbury Lane. And in actual fact, when we came back from overseas 20 odd years ago, the reason we bought the house that we have was because it was in the field where I used to ride a polo pony called Megan. So we've changed the name of the house to Megan's Field. So I used to help teach people to ride, and, you know, really, really happy childhood. There was the farm with the pigs and the horses. I remember going out with Pam, who was the owner's daughter of the farm. We went to the New Forest to buy ponies. And, you know, it was just amazing. I went hunting, which was, you know, then it was quite a thing. I can remember in the field next to my house now, the stream that used to run through all the time, which I'll later tell you why I got involved with the parish council, was because of the stream and the water that goes through that field. And I was jumping the stream and the horse was stopped and I ended up in the stream. But, you know, it was just, everything was lovely. It really was. And they say you paint rosy pictures of your childhood. Mm-hmm. And I suppose we all do that. But this particular village is so special. It really is. People that I know now that I knew when I first had bought the house where I was, and I'm walking, we had two dogs then, walking the dogs. One of the ladies in particular, she moved away, and about 9 years later, I met her in the cafe in the village, and she wanted to come back, and now she lives in the same road. So it's people go, and when I said to her, what made you come back? She said, I just love Rowlands Castle. It's in my blood. I can't change it. And yet she'd lived in other places before, and she moved to Devon and just wanted to come back to Rowlands Castle. So it was just that feeling about Rowlands Castle, I don't, for people, even now, I don't think will change, because it really is a community. And that's what I like about it the most, is it's a really nice community. So for growing up for me, I went to the local school when Miss Bursey was the headmistress of the school. And she, at the time, it was the old building, which is now housing. And it was very, very strange to see the old school change to just the development that it is now. Although it's a very nice development. They used to be behind the old school, used to have porter cabins, because there were so many more children that came into the school. And I can remember having lessons in the porter cabin, which was like a wood behind it, and it was in the middle of the wood. It was lovely, and we had the school field, and I was always sporty. I liked, you know, all sorts of different sports. And from there, I went to Warblington School in Warblington, which again was a bit strange because I can remember my sister and I running down the road because we could hear the train coming that we had to catch. We would run down the road, get on the train, get off at Havant, and then have to wait for another train to take us to Warblington, or walk, because it was about 2.5 miles, but sometimes we would walk and sometimes we would wait for the train, depending on the weather, of course. So I did quite well at Warblington, and I left with my GCSEs, and well, of course it was O-levels then, and then I decided that I wanted to do accountancy of some sort. First of all, I wanted to be a hairdresser. I really wanted to, but then you had to pay, and my parents couldn't afford to pay for me to take this
apprenticeship.
Yes. Yeah. So then I said, okay, well, I quite like figures and maths. I was always good at maths. So I joined Currys in Havant, and I did all their accounts in Havant. And after I'd been there about 3 years, they asked me if I would like to be the district person to go. I did a big thing there. There was, we had to do ledger checks every 3 months, and they had never balanced before. And then I found out why they didn't balance. And so eventually I was asked to do certain shops, to do 3 monthly balances and sometimes end of year balances. So I stayed with them for quite some time, actually. Well, until after I was married.
What age were you when you went there? Straight from school?
Well, I was 16. But I really enjoyed the job. I really, really did. But I have to say that, of course, I met my husband in Rowlands Castle in the youth club in the village. And he used to come with lots of people from Portsmouth, actually, from around Portsmouth. But he lived in Portsmouth at the time. But they were all from the dockyard in Portsmouth. And one of them came and was going out with one of my good friends and liked the youth club so much that he brought all his friends. And that was when I met my husband, and I was 15. And yeah, so we were together until, well, we're married now, and it's 56 years this year, so it's a long time. But he was 23 and I was 19 when we got married. And he worked as an apprentice in the dockyard, eventually moving to the drawing office. Didn't particularly like that, and decided that he wanted to join Lloyd's Register of Shipping. But to do that, he had to get lots of exams and do some sea time. So he did that. And my first daughter was born, I was 21. So 2 years after we got married. And then subsequently, I had two other daughters. So we just had the three girls. But when my husband left the Merchant Navy, he joined, well, we went overseas to South Africa and took our family. And we emigrated. And after 2 years, we decided, or I decided, that the sort of job that he had, I spent more time alone than I did as a family, that I didn't want that. So we came back. Came back to Rowlands Castle.
How long were you away?
About 2.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, he interviewed for Lloyd's Register of Shipping and he got the job that he'd always wanted. And they moved us to Hull. So we moved to Hull and were there for about 3 years. And then our daughters sort of started to grow up there. And then Lloyd's Register sent us overseas to Iran just before the revolution, and we were there for the revolution, which was quite scary actually, but interesting too when I look back on it. All the places that we've been, I've found, you know, interesting things. And so eventually, after being abroad for with my husband's job, back and forth, we decided we needed to buy a home here. So we bought one in Rowlands Castle. And we lived in one of the cottages along the side of the Fountain Pub. That's the cottage that we bought. And we thought as the girls grew and we had to go away, that that was always a stable for them to be able to come home to and stay, and for us when we came home. In the meantime, my mum aged quite a lot. We had already bought her bungalow to make life easier for her. And eventually she was ill, so she had to come and live with us. So we had to move from the cottage on the green to the house that we live in now. And that's 26 years ago. Never regretted it for a moment. The one thing that it, of course, it did bring into focus, it was growing up, I remember so much fun that we had, of course, like the children do now, with the Lavants going across the road and into the field. And of course, you know, my parents used to say, you are not going down to play in the Lavants, it's dangerous. And of course, we did, as children do now. But the reason that I'm doing what I'm doing now is because of the Lavants, because it's got to the stage where it really was a problem. It was getting worse. And, you know, I was worried about the children because they were taking boats out into the field when it got really bad and it was dangerous. So I went to a parish council meeting, and it was held then in the old church hall, which is no longer here, but it's the car park now at the church at St. John's. And by the way, that's where I was christened, confirmed and married, at St. John's Church. The parish council had their meetings there. So I went in and it was quite a gloomy, I remember it so well. It was quite a gloomy hall and it was very old. And I sat there, I was the only person in the audience, and eventually I was able to speak. And I said that, you know, I was concerned about the flooding and, you know, what were we going to do about it in the village? And nothing much was said. We'll let you know. And eventually I got cross and said, well, I think we need to do something about it. And so eventually we did, or they did, after I joined the parish council, they put a flood committee together. And we still have a flood committee in this village, which has grown and grown and grown because we now support the whole of the village for flooding. But at the time it was along the green area outside of the shop into Woodbury Lane and the water that came across from Finchdene, and it was just horrific at stages. And people were being flooded and it really concerned me a lot, which was why. And that's why I got involved with the parish council. And I enjoyed my time in the parish council. As you know, it's a voluntary thing, and it's actually makes you aware of what's actually happening in the village and how you can help people. And I think the piece that I've really missed out about all of it is that when we were moved, when we came back from overseas and we were moved to Bristol for my husband's job, my daughter was a really good swimmer. And she was a young England swimmer. And so we both got involved in teaching swimming, and my husband's a coach for swimming. I was a teacher. But the thing that I missed out, I think, out of all of it, is the fact that it was another little village that I lived in. We still had our home here, even though we were living elsewhere. And I have to say that I could compare the two villages, except that we have our wonderful village green and they did not. It was just housing. But a very much a village situation. Our daughters went to private school, and my husband's company paid quite a lot towards that, which was nice, but we had to pay quite a lot towards it too. Anyway, I think the intervening years sort of go in and out because we were in and out of different places. And so it was our children growing up and what they were doing. But, you know, we got involved. We liked children and we liked helping people. And it was while we lived in Bristol that I took my nursing training. And I suppose when I look back on it, I was a community nurse. I worked in the community for about 5.5 years until we were sent overseas again with my husband's job. And so I sort of think that's really what guided me towards helping people, was the nursing bit, which I loved. I really, really loved it. I didn't ever want to go back to sit behind a desk and do anything behind it. I like people, and I think the nursing brought that out in me. And so it was normal for me to be involved, I think, in the community I lived in. And that's how I became involved in Rowlands Castle. But the flood issue was the thing that was the big thing for me that started it off. And I really, really enjoyed the parish council. I was there for 10 years. And during the time I was there, I was asked if I would like to stand for the district council. And I said, well, I don't know. I don't know if I've got the time for all that. And anyway, eventually I did.
What sort of year would that be?
That would, oh gosh, I can't remember.
Back from
20,
Bristol,
20,
obviously.
25, 26 years ago. Oh, no, can't be, am I saying? Gosh.
It doesn't matter. Don't worry. It'll come.
I was there for 10 years anyway. And then during that time, I was voted in as district councillor. When the councillor in the village died, I went in a by-election. And interesting, I went in as a Liberal Democrat. Because although I was on the parish council and they knew that I was a Conservative, I wasn't asked to stand as a candidate. So when the Liberal Democrats came and asked me if I would stand for them, I made it very clear that I was not a Liberal Democrat. I would work for the people of Rowlands Castle, which I've done all my political life, and just for that. It's nothing to do with politics. It was to do with the people that I would serve, and that's my job, is to look after the people in my village and then in my division when I went on to the county council. I spent 13 years at district council, and during that time I was chairman of East Hampshire District Council, which is a great privilege, and really enjoyed that year. And so when I was asked to stand for county council, I said, I don't know if I can do that because, you know, my husband works long hours and the county have their meetings during the day and the district have them at night. Anyway, I did stand and I did win, and I stayed with the district council for 2 years until the next election, and then I stood down so that I could just have the county council. Because the county council, actually, I have to look after Horndean and Lovedean and Blenworth as well. So it's a huge area, and I don't take on anything that I can't actually do properly. And so that's one of the reasons that I gave up the district council, because many of the county councillors still are district councillors, but I didn't feel that I could do both properly.
Do you know when that was, or how many years it was until you
did that? I've been 9 years at the county, and before that I was 13 years at the district. But I was still on the parish council when I was on the district for 2 years. So sort of 2 years each time, you know, it's mm-hmm. takes it back quite a number of years.
Yeah.
But so I say 25 years in local government. And I honestly can say that I have enjoyed it all. I like helping people and I like to be able to solve problems, I suppose.
And you're now... What's your position now?
I'm chairman of the county council. So, which is a great honour. Both times it's been a great honour to be chosen by your peers to do that job. But it's a responsibility also because when I was at the district council and was chairman, you were allowed to do your committees. But at the county council, you're not. And that's the only thing that I... really don't like about it, because the committees I was on, three select committees. One's health and social care, which is obviously goes with my nursing bit and with what I believe in. One was the children's committee, or two children's committees, both select committees. And I was on lots of other committees that was offshoots of those committees. So I really enjoyed it, I find this year very difficult because actually when you're vice chairman, you're not allowed to have your committee. So I was vice chairman for 2 years because of the pandemic. And then this year I'm chairman and I can't do it. So for 3 years, I haven't been on a committee, but I attend online all of those meetings and I make notes and I ask questions, which I'm allowed to do. So I feel like I'm keeping up with it, but I have been promised that I can go back onto my committees when I finish my year as chairman. So I'm happy about that because I still have another 3 years to do. Well, not quite 3 years, but, you know, long enough to make a difference.
Is it just 1 year that you're chairman?
Yes, just 1 year. You're vice chairman usually for a year and then chairman for a year. So, but when I took on the vice chairman's job, I hadn't realised that I had to give up my committees, because I really think that's what makes the difference with the people, and which is why I keep up with them, because I really want to be able to go back and know what's happened in the years that I haven't been on those committees. So I think if I had realised that I couldn't have committees... Oh, I'm sorry. I can't never remember where I was, but anyway. So actually giving up the committees, had I realised, I probably would not have taken the vice chairman and chairman's job. But in the end, it doesn't matter because I'm still keeping up with those committees and I still ask questions and I still get answers. So I feel like I'm still part of that committee, even though I'm not sitting there making decisions. And I think that's the hardest bit, is not being able to vote for something that you really feel strongly about. But hey-ho, that's the way it is sometimes. While I was at... when I first joined Hampshire, I was asked to be chairman of the Autism Partnership Board because my oldest daughter was autistic, I think. And I think that was quite challenging because I felt quite strongly about things that were happening at the time. Hampshire were going to close a disabled house in Hayling Island, which was left for disabled people. And they were going to close it because they said they couldn't afford it. We needed money, and that was one of the ways we were going to save money, which we have to do now. But I got quite involved with that, and went to many meetings with parents of autistic people. And I have to say, my pride and joy, I managed to bring everybody from all of the councillors together at a meeting with the officers. And I stood up and said what I felt. And I'd been to the home and visited it and seen the people and realised that this should not happen, even though we were going to save quite a lot of money. but it was people's lives, you know, it was awful. And not that my daughter was bad enough that she would want to go there, but the ones that went there were quite bad. So, and that was their only respite, was to go for the parents and for them. And it was like a holiday for them. It was wonderful. It was a really lovely place. Anyway, I called a meeting of the officers and the councillors. They all came. I have to say the officers were not too thrilled because they realised that the councillors actually agreed with me. So at the next meeting, there was a vote and we voted to keep it. So that's still going now. Mm-hmm. But it still needs a lot of work doing on it to make it, or just to bring it up to date. And my next project is to go to DIY SOS and ask them if they will be interested in coming and doing something mm-hmm. for this home, because it really is so worthwhile. At the moment, it only takes about 12 young people, we'll say young, you know, up to about 40, I think. But, you know, it's a bit dilapidated. It's old, it's an old house, but lovely gardens, lovely place for everything that they need there, except space. So it needs some work doing on it. So that's my next project, is to ask if maybe they would be interested in coming and doing that. And I was going to do that before the pandemic. And then I wrote to them and I got a reply back to say, please, we've got a lot of projects at the moment, but please come back to us. So I will. I will keep going back until they say yes, because I do believe it's a really worthwhile place for disabled people. And my year, as every year when you're chairman, you have to decide what your year is going to mean. And I've chosen health, of course.
Health.
And so because of my husband's health and because of other people that we've met with similar problems.
It's also a lot of wide range.
Yes, it really is. Mm-hmm. I've got involved in that a little bit. I don't have a great deal of time to do that because he's poorly and because of my job. You know, I spend I was just telling them yesterday, I spent 5 hours on Monday doing emails, 5 hours solid. But not because of the emails that I came in, but because when I'm working, if there's something that I haven't solved, I'll flag it. And then every month I go back and I go through the ones that I've flagged. And if they're still outstanding, then we go back and take it over. And they tell me at Hampshire that I'm the only councillor who does something like that. And actually, they think I'm a bit of a pain, I think, because I won't let anything go. But, you know, I really feel that this is people's lives. And you have to be wary of that. And you have to be aware of it and try and make a difference, which is what I hope I do. So, yeah, that's mostly up to date. I'm sure there's lots of things in between that I could talk about that I don't remember at this moment. Yes, so I think for the moment, that's, you know, although we've spent many years abroad, it's never been more than 3 years at a time, and always came back to Rowlands Castle. When we didn't have a home here, my daughter said, oh, go to Chichester, go here, go there. And we did, to start with. And I can remember sitting outside at the Fountain Pub with our daughters having a drink, and I was saying, they said, have you got anywhere yet, Mum? And I said, no, we haven't found anywhere yet. And at the time, there were two houses, one along the green that was for sale, and the little cottage that we eventually bought. And they said, well, why aren't you looking here, Mum? And I looked at Dave and I said, she's absolutely right. There's nowhere else on earth I'd rather be than Rowlands Castle. So that's what we did. We bought that on the green, and we've never regretted it. And, you know, it's just lovely. And one of my neighbours at the time was an elderly lady and a bit grumpy. And my husband was so lovely to her. He did all the little jobs and things. And when her son, who used to live in the village, came one day, he said, you've changed my mother's life completely. You know that, don't you? So it was really nice. You know, I used to go out with the children, well, my daughters, We used to go and pick strawberries and fresh vegetables and things. And I always used to bring some back for her. And she, I won't eat them. Yes, you will. So I really love Rowland's Castle and really wouldn't like to live anywhere else. It's just my home, and it's, and Dave feels the same way. He loves Rowland's Castle as well. And, you know, even though he's poorly, he can go to the cafe and people there will come up and ask him and talk to him. And the carer said to me that when she took him last time, so many people came and talked to him, and she said he just came alive. And I said, yeah, well, that's what it's for. That's why he needs that to go out. And so, you know, people, I suppose a lot of the older people that I know in the village, and I can call them at any time and say, look, I've got a problem. Can you help me with this? And I know they always will. And, you know, the one person that we've been involved with all our life is Ted Redsall. And he was at the same school as me. He was a bit older than me, but he does, ask anybody in the village, everybody knows Ted Redsall. He does all the photos on the green. But Ted has always done all our work for us at our house, or houses. And when we moved to the house we live in now, he had already built a sunroom onto the house. So we wanted a porch built in the front, and we wanted a room, because my mother was ill in the end, and so she came to live with us, and he built the extension on for her. And it was lovely to have him around, because she knew him very well too. So he'd been part of around with my brothers, and, you know, so being the youngest of six children, and now there's just my sister and I, it's odd. You know, because we were a close family, a very close family. And, I can always remember my brothers used to play football and cricket, and all the old people that live in the village now, if we go to the fair, they all come back to the village. And you're walking along and they'll all come along and say, hello, Marge, how's Carol, how's this, how's that, you know. And they because they love the village. Some of them still live here, some of them don't, you know, but they always come back on Village Fair Day. It's really lovely. It really is. It's a lovely place to live. We're so fortunate.